We said that prosperity is a condition of being successful, thriving, or flourishing luxuriantly, and to yield abundantly continually. It means to advance or gain in anything good or desirable, or make progress, successful progress in any business or enterprise. There's a difference between a miracle and prosperity. If somebody is said to be prospering, it means the person is continually doing well. Amen? So to prosper is a place, a state of being, a condition of being successful, thriving and flourishing continually. Amen? Continually. Praise the Lord Jesus. And we had gone through some things that we talked about prosperity. And we talked about the fact that the purpose of prosperity is for God to establish his covenant. Amen? The believer is supposed to know that. Put that at the back of your mind. And we've been going, you know, a lot of people or some believers, they look at prosperity like prosperity is a sin. It's not. Or that is evil. You know, when you're prosperous means you're greedy, you're covetous, you have a problem, and all of that. Some still believe that till today, in spite of all that we have been taught. And so we continue to teach it. In 3 John verse 2, the Apostle John committed the biggest sin, if that is a sin. He said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." I like the old King James. Praise the Lord, the regular King James. He says, "Beloved, I wish," and we said that that word is prayer, "above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered." Why I chose or I prefer this, it says, "above all things." So God wants you prosperous. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem." So prosperity has always been part of God's plan from the beginning. Amen? Praise God. God wants us to prosper. But there are practical things we need to do in order to prosper. The fact that God has already made us rich is an anointing, is a grace. We still have to go out into the place of commerce. We still have to carry out some other covenant details for these things to work in our lives. Amen? So we need to know these things. If we don't know them and action them or walk them, things are not going to work well. Hallelujah. So there are things that we need to do to cause that which is potentially ours to become manifest here for our use. Amen? Now, God blessed Abraham, but we know that Abraham had cattle. All right? Now, through the process of the blessing of Abraham, Abraham went into the land of Egypt, and from there, things happened. He received gifts. A miracle took place there that gave him, the Pharaoh gave him gifts. All right? But how many of us know that if he took those things, rich in cattle and all of that, and came out of Egypt and did nothing else, how many of us know that by and by the cattle would die off and he'll become a poor man again, just like the guy who won the lotto, right? Praise God. So there are things we need to do to maintain. The Bible says that wise men, strong men, maintain riches. Praise the Lord. If you don't do the things that God tells you to do, you will, just like the Garden of Eden disappeared, the wealth will have wings and fly away. Because money has wings. You don't see them, but they're spiritual. They have wings. Amen. Hallelujah. So in 3 John verse 2, the Apostle John had this habit of praying for the brethren. And he would pray above all things that brethren may prosper and be in health, even as their souls prospers. So it means we can pray for prosperity. Amen? But prayer is not all there is to it. Amen? So we can't throw prayer out the door. Neither do we just pray alone and do nothing else. Amen? There are other covenant details that we need to carry out. There are certain parts of this covenant things we need to do that God has asked us to do, that when we do them, then God will do what he has said in his word that he's going to do for us. Amen? One of it is that we should hear the word of God. Amen? Hear the word of God from the preacher who said. Number two, we should study and meditate upon the word of God. The Bible tells us that those who do that day and night, all right, whatsoever they do will prosper. Amen? Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, you can put there the word of God, doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he what? Doeth shall prosper. So he needs to do something which will prosper. Is that not true? Amen? So the word tells us that. And the reason why he's prospering is that he's observing many things that God said and to do them. Now, the third thing that we looked at was the fact that we should be led of the Spirit of God. In your investment decisions, be led of the Spirit of God. Everything you're doing, be led of the Spirit of God. Because that is where some people lose it or gain it supernaturally. Now, there are men who, some people like to say that, what about unbelievers? They make money, they don't know the Lord, they don't follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Well, there is natural prosperity, just like the devil can give his people, make them prosperous. You know, you hear about musicians who have sold their souls to the devil, and they make music, and people buy them, and they make a lot of money, but their souls belong to the adversary. When they die, they will go to hell. But we also know people that have been prospered by God. Solomon was prospered by God. David was prospered by God. And I know a lot of Christians around the world that have been prospered, that have become billionaires because of the work of the Lord. They are sponsored. These are men who sponsor the gospel. They live to do that. There are people like that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So one would choose which way to go. It's also possible for you to prosper naturally by, working hard and doing all the things that you need to do, and you will prosper. But that thing does not have an acceleration to it. The average person does not get there. So, but for you to always be, in Christ, there is the equal opportunity deal for everybody to prosper. There is nobody in the kingdom of God that cannot prosper, that wants to prosper, that will not prosper. Nobody in the kingdom that wants to prosper and do the things that God said to do, that will not prosper. If you do what God says to do and you do not prosper, it means that God is partial. Is that not true? And we know that God is not partial. God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't do anything because of the color of your skin or the way your face looks. God and his word are one. God does not have an attitude separate from his word. Him and his word are one and the same. If we do what God says to do, we will prosper. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Vital, to do. Bible says, faith without works is dead, being what? Alone. Hallelujah. So faith without her works is dead, totally dead, ineffective. Praise the Lord Jesus. It says, to observe, to do according to all. Is this a psalm? All that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen? So success and prosperity are synonymous words. You will prosper if you do the word of God, if you do what God says to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And it takes humility to do that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Following kingdom instructions and all of that. James chapter 2, I want to just digress a little bit, but it's the same thing. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doeth it profit, my brethren, do a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. This word works here is the Greek word egon, and it means performance. It means actions in tandem with what you want to do or say you're doing that would produce result. Appropriate work. Amen? Now, it can be akin to the truth. Works that accompany the manifestation or works that facilitate the manifestation. Jesus said to the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. So if they believed, they turned around, or they believed, they turned around, and as they went, the Bible says they were healed. So assuming that they stood there and said, Jesus, you should, you know, we're talking about healing, not seeing the priest. When Naaman went to Elisha, and Elisha said, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And the man was, you know, upset. I said, don't we have better rivers where I'm coming from? And the Bible says there that his assistant or attendant said, Master, if he told you to go and do some big thing, you would have done it. He only said, go and bathe in the sea and come well, come, you know, heal. And so he went. After being angry a while, he got up and went and dipped himself 7 times, and his skin came back to normal. Praise the Lord. His action was the work that facilitated the manifestation. Glory be to God. There are things that God says in his word that we need to do. If we don't do them, we can't blame God for not showing up on the scene. Praise the Lord. Now, God says that whatsoever any man soweth, the same shall he also reap. Is it not true? Praise the Lord Jesus. There are two things that accompany, or two main things apart from all the things we've talked about before. One of it is giving. The other is work. Two things that we will use to close this particular teaching. Work and giving. The scriptures tell us, let him that does not work, not eat. Especially in a country like America, there's opportunity to work. If you're a citizen here and you have your papers and all of that, there are people who come here and fight to get the paperwork, to be able to work. They're fighting for an opportunity to work. And there are people who live here, born here, who fight for an opportunity not to work. That is not God's way at all. That's not prosperity. If you're living like that, that's not prosperity that God talks about. No. Abraham was not like that. Amen. Isaac was not anything like that. No, that was Jacob. They were working men. Hallelujah. If we obey God, everything will be all right. Amen. So we should be doers of the word. Amen. And part of the word is that we should walk. We should walk. We should walk. So that we may have to give. Get a job. If you don't have one, get a job. Sometimes the job you get right now may not be, you know, whilst you're in between things. You know, it may not be according to where you, your status in life or whatever. You know, it's a transitory thing. Praise God. You do it. Glory be to God. Because you know where you're going. Amen? You know where you're going. All right. Number one in these things, or in our, at the back of our minds, is the fact that we're seeking the kingdom of God. We walk. All the things we're doing here is to serve God. How many of us know that? We're serving God. So that the more permanent thing, we can have bliss, which is eternity. The eternity is a more permanent thing where we want the bliss. We don't want to live well here, live here and go to hell or the lake of fire. Seek the advancement of God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, we're talking about prosperity, right? You say, what has that got to do with prosperity? You're going to see in a minute. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All which things? If you read before, then you see all the things that the Gentiles seek after. So your mind has to be kingdom. You have to be kingdom-minded. Why does God want us to do all those things? Because as you're studying and reading about the kingdom, you are activating spiritual forces that are for your advantage. Hallelujah. The blessing is in the text. So as we're reading, we're studying, we're seeing, God says we should win souls, we're going out there because God wants many children. Why? Jesus died for everybody. So we're going out there, we're winning the souls, we're bringing them in because God's number one job is soul winning. Actually, that's our assignment. Prosperity is a fringe benefit. So we seek the kingdom of God. As we're seeking the kingdom of God and doing his right things, walking in his righteousness, doing things that are right in his sight, all these things will be added to us. What are the things that are right in his sight? Your tithe. Your walk. First, you need to walk. Walk gives glory to God. It gives you dignity. Or you have a job. Say, man, I have a job, but it doesn't pay so well. It doesn't matter. What you go to work, any pay, as long as pay enters your hand, say, I have seed. I have seed. Glory be to God. You take your one-tenth, which is your tithe. We're not saying that the rest of the money is enough for you. No. We said God first. God first. Because if the first fruit be blessed, the rest are blessed. I'm not telling you something I've not practiced. And I'm not saying it to you because I want to get your money. I'm saying what God wants you to do for your benefit. I've been blessed through my tithing. I've never earned below my tithing. In fact, I earn more than my tithing. Amen? And so, you never lose with God. Now, what usually happens is that the adversary tries to attack the kingdom of God and the word of God. The Bible says that trials or persecution cometh on account of the word. So when he saw that people were being comfortable with tithing, he came up, sent some of his disciples. They came and began to complain and to speak against tithing that is not under the New Testament and stuff like that. And I say, when you're ignorant, you can say many things. And your conscience won't bother you because your conscience is ignorant. They say tithing is an Old Testament concept. You need to know the Lord and understand how he operates. God, the Father himself, after he had given Abraham victory, came down and introduced himself and said, I am Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. And the Bible says, and Abraham gave him tithe of all. At this point, there was no law. At this point, there was no law. Abraham handed the tithe to Melchizedek. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, it says that Levi, to whom the children of Israel gave tithes, paid tithe in the loins of Abraham. It meant that, you know, God is eternal. He's eternal, is eternal, dateless past and dateless future. God is eternal. Time is a capsule in the midst of eternity. Hallelujah. And so God, knowing that Jesus was coming, put forth that priesthood ahead of Levi, of the Levitical priesthood. That's what he did. Now, what I'm doing now may seem like some theological stuff, but bear me out. You know, some of the reasons why people make a lot of mistakes is that they do not understand the principle, the underlying principle with something. And so they run with it a season because they're copying everybody. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing. So if the devil comes out of the bush and says, whoa, everybody will run away. That's not how we're going to do that. Praise God. We worship God with understanding. Amen? Proper understanding. Praise the Lord. And so he showed up there. Why? He wanted to show that in the priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek, tithing was still there for those who were willing to do it. Now, why do I use the word willing to do it? Because look at where there was no law. There was no law. The law, 10 commandments and all the statutes and all of those things, the precepts and all of that under the law, they were not there. What was there was the conscience of man. And two people at the beginning gave God offerings. Cain and Abel. If you look at their offerings, one was special before God because he gave God the first things and gave him, he gave God what we consider the tithe of all. He gave him the first things and gave him the fat of it. He honored God. This thing is about worship. It's honoring God. We're going to look at the principles of giving. It's honoring God. He's honoring the Lord. And when God saw his gift, in fact, let's read it. And in the process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain, this is Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He brought what? An offering, a gift to the Lord. And the Bible says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God looked at it and God said, wow, this guy came to honor me. Your offering, your tithing is to honor the Lord.